Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, we are glad that you have tuned in for another edition of Abounding Grace. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and this week we are again looking at the design of Christian ministry that is given to us, especially as comes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read a little bit of that, and we're going to work through this week, this wonderful section of what Paul describes and what he understood about Christian ministry. This is what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, I begin with something I read a while back that William Willimon once said. He said, so often the church tries hard to speak to the world in the world's terms. She tries so hard that she falls right in. Good statement. I'll never forget about that New Bible Translation ad, that ad for that New Bible Translation. Pastor, if you want to reach me, you better watch your language. And as the advertisement goes, distracted by bills and deadlines, this is the only time she takes to nurture her spiritual life. You can't afford to lose her attention when you reference Bible passages that are too lofty and obscure. Well, that just characterizes so well the issue that we're dealing with this week on Abounding Grace in light of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because generally there are two sorts of approaches to Christian ministry. On the one hand is the approach of just preaching to the baptized and never giving calls to repentance and faith, aiming at the conscience and conversion of life. That's a danger, of course. But on the other hand, now this is really common, is the thought that what we do in church is aimed for the unbaptized, the lost. And so we have to choose our words carefully. We have to actually don't even use Christian language. We have to figure out how to make a bridge for them in their context to make the word relevant. Proof is with the pudding, right? It's in the numbers. Now, we wouldn't just do this anywhere. I was a college basketball player, NCAA. Our coach was always worried about recruiting. And what could he offer in competition with the other universities to get that 7-footer to get him to sign and play? He didn't worry about me too much. I had already signed. There were a million shooting guards, 6'1 shooting guards. Can you imagine if he said, look, I really want to get you, Mr. 7-footer, into our program. I won't make you learn the plays. I don't want to make this too hard on you. I don't want to make it feel so basketball-y to you. You know, I'm not going to run you as hard. I'm going to give you the best equipment, the best living situation, the best treatment. We want you so much in our program, we're going to focus the whole thing on you. We're not going to be stuffy about the game of basketball. Can you imagine? You've just brought him in on false premises. You've just wrecked the unity of the team, and you have single-handedly changed the game of basketball. How ridiculous, right? You would say how ridiculous. Well, in the same way, we can't do this in Christ Church. People have to learn the language. They have to learn the theology. They have to learn who God is. They need to be brought along. We have to be patient, but they have to be patient too as the Spirit works in them. We can't redefine worship. We cannot redefine everything we do to aim it for them, because we are speaking to God's covenant people. We are speaking in worship to His people whom He has set apart in the earth. And if the unbeliever comes in, then they have to learn the language and they have to be brought along. Well, if the Lord is bringing someone to saving faith, nothing can pluck them from His hand. They will stay. If not, then we let them go, because that means that the Spirit of God is not at work in their hearts to receive the truth that they might be saved. I say all this again today because the pressures are so great. It's so easy to become discouraged and disheartened when people reject the truth, truth that is confrontive, truth that is demanding, truth that calls for radical change. The interesting reality is that the Apostle Paul struggled with the same problem. What we're facing today has always been a problem. The scene is fascinating because the Apostle Paul was under assault by false apostles who were doing everything they could to attack his ministry, to assault his character, and the primary assault came in the claim that Paul was being culturally ineffective, that his evangelism techniques were wrong. Why? Because so many were rejecting his message. And so even in the early church, different ways of doing church, trying to reach the lost, became a real conundrum. And this church in Corinth was the worst kind of church. You know, this is the church no minister wants to take, because it will take you down. Well, as we stand back from this, we can ask these questions. What was Paul's understanding of ministry? How did he handle these pressures? And if Paul were here today, what would his church look like? 2 Corinthians 4 provides such clarity on where the Apostle Paul stood on these issues. And if I were to summarize in one statement everything he said to us under the inspiration of the Spirit, it is this: we live in the most effective time ever for gospel ministry. Why? Because of the outpouring of the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has come, and that means that His ministry of ministering to sinners, the righteousness that comes by faith, is exceeding in glory unlike any other time in world history, despite appearances. Well, that's a big claim, isn't it? What Paul has essentially understood here is, because of that great truth, he made a conscious choice not to let the troubles, the darkness, the hard realities of ministry shadow this grand truth that the Spirit is saving souls. And the Apostle Paul was so overjoyed to be a preacher of the gospel because of two reasons: the character of the ministry he had been given and the mercy of God. He says this in 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." What ministry? Well, the apostle understood something so powerful about the nature of gospel ministry. And I want you to think about here something that he says in chapter 3, and this is verse 4. So this is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, as he describes something that I believe needs to be understood afresh in the church today. He says, "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves." Now listen, "but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." So in other words, we never chose this. We never even asked for this. We, from the beginning, never thought we were sufficient to do this. God made us sufficient. And the glorious reality is, we have been given the ministry of the new covenant, which is of the Spirit, And he is setting all this in contrast to Moses and the law, which he calls a ministry of condemnation. The law, the blood of bulls and goats, the way of trying to climb the ladder yourself to God. The law never had the ability to set anyone free. So Paul was overwhelmed because he was not a minister of that old, but of this new. And what that meant was that everything that had been anticipated in the promises made to Abraham were coming to pass in this ministry. We will never be effective with the law, not with our personal applications. But in terms of those promises made to Abraham, that in his seed all the nations would be blessed, what would happen? What was the anticipation? Well, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would reveal himself in a bright light that surrounded the presence of God, and the glory would lead Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But we have some dreadful things that happened. The glory on Moses' face when he came down from the mountain being in God's presence, that glory would fade. And the veil was put up to keep Israel from seeing that that glory of the old covenant was fading away. The law could not save. And the veil covered Moses' face to keep Israel from seeing that. Well, the glory left. Telling Israel that God's presence had been removed from them, it left in the book of Ezekiel. Well, when Pentecost happened, the Spirit came, rushing like a mighty wind. And Paul understands that this is the day of the ministry of the glory Spirit, who seals our hearts, and that glory does not fade away. That glory is permanent. He's going to say from glory to glory, when somebody comes to faith in Jesus, it's more glory and more glory and more glory, sealing them for the day of redemption. So Paul says, in all my trials, this is going to have a big bearing on my ministry. This understanding that the ministry will be effective because of the work of the Holy Spirit. That means I can be confident in all the hard realities, knowing Christ will be magnified in people's lives because we have received this ministry.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.